We again today, on the fourth Sunday of Advent, turn to the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 7. Begin reading in verse 10 and read through verse 16. Isaiah chapter 7, beginning with verse 10. Again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask for a sign from the Lord your God. Make it as deep as the grave or as high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I won't ask. I won't test the Lord." Then Isaiah said, "Listen, house of David, isn't it enough for you to be tiresome for people that you are also tiresome before my God? Therefore the Lord will give you a sign. The young woman is pregnant and is about to give birth to a son, and she will name him Emmanuel. He will eat butter and honey and learn to reject evil and choose good. Before the boy learns to reject evil and choose good, the land of the two kings you dread will be abandoned." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We have enjoyed the company of the prophet Isaiah throughout our Advent season. The powerful words of his prophecies have provided narration for our journey into Advent's mystery and promise. His visions of swords being beaten into plowshares and the creation of a whole new order in which there is neither predator nor prey, a system in which love is primary instinct, have left us wondering, after all these years remaining largely unfulfilled, if we are to take Isaiah's words seriously. We have even wondered if anyone took him seriously in his own day. Well, today seems to catch a candid glimpse of how Isaiah's prophecies might have been received by those to whom he spoke. Let's see how Ahaz, king of Judah, reacted to Isaiah's promises. To get a fuller picture of the context, we should probably offer at least a little summary of the opening verses of the seventh chapter of Isaiah, which lead up to this morning's scripture reading. In the verses preceding our text, we learn that Ahaz was in a pretty dire situation. He had two adversaries, Aram and Israel, and they had attempted to invade Judah in hopes of helping Israel reclaim the territory of Judah, which had been lost in the division of the Promised Land, establishing Judah as its own kingdom. The good news was their attempt had failed. The bad news, they hadn't given up yet. The even worse news was now they had the people of Ephraim joining the alliance to attack Judah. The scripture verses offer a pretty vivid description of how Judah was taking the news. Their hearts and the hearts of their people shook as trees of the forest shake when there is a wind. That paints a picture that you can see pretty clearly. In fact, you may be able to feel what the people were feeling because the images take you back to a time, be it a distant time or a time not so distant, where you too were in the same forest, a time when your heart was shaking with fear like a leaf in the wind. Isaiah steps boldly into this windy forest and offers one of his prophetic visions, telling King Ahaz, "Be careful and stay calm. Don't fear, don't lose heart over these two burnt-out cases. They talk big, but there's nothing to them. It won't happen. Nothing will come of it." That sounds like my wife when I'm fearful. So I ask you, what effect do you think this promise had on King Ahaz and his people? If they could even hear the words of Isaiah over the fluttering of their own hearts, shaking like leaves in the wind, would it have brought them any reassurance or sense of peace? Well, how much good does my wife's promises do to calm my fears? How much good do promises do to calm your fears when you find yourself in a windy forest, frightened, your heart shaken like a leaf? or the promises of God any real help when you find yourself in a place of real and pressing danger? Well, that's the backstory for today's scripture reading. It's where the scripture reading picks up today. Here, Isaiah invites King Ahaz to ask for a sign from the Lord. Make it as deep as the grave or as high as heaven. Now that we have an idea of the preceding lines, we can more accurately read between those lines and this one. It appears that Ahaz wasn't buying a word of it. He didn't believe Isaiah, not for a minute. This dude had been offering some pretty far-fetched promises which, after thousands of years, still haven't been fulfilled. Why would he believe this promise of the Lord was trustworthy? So Isaiah says, "All right, you don't believe me? Fine. Ask God for a sign. You'll see. You go ahead. Ask away. As deep as the grave or as high as heaven. Knock yourself out." Ahaz bows out. He won't do it. He says he won't test the Lord. Sounds pretty pious, doesn't it? I mean, didn't Jesus quote the psalmist telling the tempter that it is written, "Thou shalt not test the Lord your God"? Ahaz wasn't the first, nor would he be the last person who refused to test the Lord by asking for a sign. While he couldn't be sure of the cause of the reluctance, it might not be an exhibition of his faith to deny the need for such a sign as proof of God's promise. Maybe it's my own projection. Maybe it's guilt by association with others whose unbelief rather than piety caused them to discredit or ignore signs that God would offer. Whatever the basis, I tend to think that the winds of fear that buffeted Ahaz, causing his heart to shake like a leaf, made it impossible for him to hear or believe the promises of God. He didn't think God could or would do anything. Ahaz was so unaccustomed to asking God for anything that he found it of little use to ask a God who is unlikely to respond for a sign. Why look for a sign and prove God was either not listening or didn't care or didn't have the power to intervene in a distressing situation? This refusal to seek a sign triggers an image from this year's Advent movie, The Christmas Candle. In the movie, everybody in the village believed in signs and wonders, angels and miracles. Everybody except the village pastor. He challenged the people's need for a sign. Turns out he didn't believe in miracles or answered prayer because of his own traumatic experience in life. He had prayed for his wife and daughter. He even believed for a miracle, but God did nothing. His wife, his daughter died. From his perspective, seeking a sign would only lead to a place of disappointment and abandoned hope in God. I think that's where Ahaz was. He didn't believe Isaiah because he didn't believe God would intervene in his windy forest of fear. He had no room in his fearful heart for the promise of God's peace. Isaiah, never one to have much patience with unbelief, responded with decisiveness, translated by Eugene Peterson in The Message like this: "It's bad enough that you make people tired with your pious, timid hypocrisies, but now you're making God tired." And then comes the word of Isaiah that can still be heard ringing through every windy forest of our lives: "The Lord will give you a sign. The young woman is pregnant and is about to give birth to a son. She will name him Emmanuel, God with us." That is a translation of verse 14 in the Common English Bible, a translation that is reflective of other versions of Scripture that has caused no small degree of debate. The debate is whether young woman is a translation that loses something compared to the alternate translation, which uses the word virgin rather than young woman. The concern is not so much the voluminous research that has gone into both sides of that linguistic and the subsequent doctrinal debate about the virgin birth of Christ. The real issue is this, that the sign becomes the focus rather than the problem. A candle that you can hold in your hand rather than the light of the candle's flame. Instead of not seeing the forest for the trees, we can't see the promise for the sign. The story is not so much about a virgin birth as it is about a promise. Emmanuel, God is with us. The message to King Ahaz and to us is that in all of our windy forests, where our hearts shake like leaves, the promise is that God is there with you. God is with us. And that is the message of the good news of great joy for all people. That is our peace. Were we but able to find it hidden in our hearts beneath false piety that claims we don't need a sign, or the inclination to focus on a sign rather than the promise. Or as Old Testament scholar John Holbert says, the sign of the child is a sign to Ahaz and Judah that God is still watching over their fearful and fretful people. And there is the meaning of the birth of the child we celebrate each year. He is a sign for us, fearful and fretful people, that God is with us, still offering us the strength and love, assuring us that we are not alone, no matter the size of the force of the enemies we face. On this, the final Sunday of Advent, Rob Cornwell tells us, we're still in a moment of expectation and promise, but there are signs that suggest God is present, at work in our midst. We simply have to open our spiritual eyes to look for them. He says, this, of course, requires a bit of imagination. It requires that we move out of our de-enchanted world into the realm of the Spirit. How do we get there from here? Is there still time at this late hour to find Advent's peace in the windy forests of our lives? How do we rest in the promise that God is with us? When darkness comes, let the light shine through. The spark of faith will ignite in you. In a candle's glow, in a virgin's womb, in a simple prayer, in the empty tomb. There are miracles all around, miracles yet to be found. Hid in every heart is an answered prayer. Like a candle's flame, peace will lead us there. Amen.